Hello, this is Daniel Gregory. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Perceptive Photographer Podcast. This is our 272nd episode. I hope this finds you and your family well and safe. Remember, it's important to check in on your family and your friends and make sure they're hanging in there. I know it may seem like the world's kind of chaotic and crazy, but sometimes just a quick text or a phone call out there can make a huge difference to somebody who really could use a friendly voice or an ear or somebody to talk to. So make sure you're reaching out to your family and your friends if you haven't done that in a little bit. One of the aspects I really enjoy as a photographer, and particularly my role as a photo educator and mentor, is the chance to critique work. So it's a chance to look at work and provide some feedback about that work. And I'm not really a huge fan of critique. Anybody who's seen any of my critique classes knows I prefer the word analysis over critique, but people seem to respond to the word critique as a subject matter more, so oftentimes I start with that. But I find that it's really interesting how people ask for critiques and how they respond to critiques and the kind of information that they're seeking out, because part of our job to get better as a photographer is to accept where we are, to acknowledge where we are as a photographer, also to decide how we're going to improve, and then also what kind of feedback we're actually looking for to improve, and do we even want to improve in all areas of our photography? One of the things that I find interesting about the way people approach their photography is we can decide and lean into our strengths, so the thing we do well, and we continue to improve on the thing we do well. We could try to improve our weaknesses, the things we're not good at. And I, you know, as a person who's looked at a lot of things over my career creatively, I think sometimes it makes more sense to lean into your strengths because it's a lot easier to enjoy the things you're good at, and it's a lot easier to improve the things you're good at than try to lift yourself up from the things you're bad at. However, in something like photography, there's times where even if you're bad at studio lighting and you want to actually do studio lighting photography, you're going to have to at some point at least get moderately competent at that skill. So there is a time, I think, where sometimes we do have to lean into our weaknesses, the areas that we need to improve upon more, if we're going to shift the kind of photography we do. But if you're a natural light photographer and you just do landscape work and outdoor work and natural portraiture, light portraiture, you don't have any need to learn studio light. So even if it is a weakness, it doesn't impact you at all. So part of, I think, critique and criticism is the same way. It's recognizing where your strengths and weaknesses are and what you're asking for so that you know how to improve. When we look at photographs and we think about photographs, there's kind of two essences to any narrative, any story we would look at in the photograph. There's the how the photograph was created, and there's the why the photograph was created. And I think from an analysis standpoint, critique standpoint, it's important to answer both of those questions. It's important to look at both of those questions. It's how was the photograph created? How was the photograph constructed? How was it printed? How was the technique? How was the point of view? All of those little elements, those little details and micro details that make up whether or not the photograph is successfully presented as a photograph. And I think there's a lot of photographs out there that are technically well presented. Those are the photographs that sit in the how category. They're incredibly well done. The problem with only focusing on how is you can still have a technically perfect photograph that is inherently boring and not interesting to look at. It doesn't have any resonance or connection with the subject, the viewer, or the creator. So that leads into the why aspect of the photograph. So the nature of and kind of who you are as the photographer, what you had to say about it, and why you chose to say something about that image. That becomes the more challenging aspect, I think, of photography in some ways. And what's interesting is I think people fall into both camps. There's some really technically gifted photographs on the photographers on the how, and there's some incredibly gifted narrative why people who create photographs, and they just struggle with the opposite side. And I think part of our adventure and our journey together as photographers is helping to make sure we can get competent enough at both so that we can relay the messaging and the stories and the visual narrative we want to through our photography well in both categories. But as we think about critique, one of the things that's important is I think for you to recognize the value of knowing where you're at in, say, both those big categories. And in my world, there's actually a few more categories than that. And maybe in a future podcast, I'll talk about how I kind of imagine these five different areas of buckets being contained so that we can actually evaluate photographs in a kind of a more interesting way. But for today's conversation, let's just stick with the two kind of larger buckets. And as you're doing your critique, as you ask for a critique, I think it's important for you to think back about what is it about the critique that you're interested in. Because if you're a person who's looking for help printing, so if you say came to me and you said, hey, I've been working on my printing, I'm trying to get better as a printer, I'd like to have a conversation about printing and my technique for printing and my application of these printing techniques. That is a request that I would attempt to honor as the person providing the feedback and providing the analysis back to you on the photograph. At the same time, I can't help myself. I would tell you part of the problem with the photograph is maybe it's not a printing-worthy photograph. Not that interesting. But from a technical standpoint, these are the things I see in the print that are good. These are the things that I see that need to be improved. Or here's things to consider that you might want to go back and think about, whether it be sharpening, tonal contrast, crop, depth of field, blurring, whatever it is. There'll be little specific nuances within that image to say, here's what I think you could do better from the how you're approaching that. Camera lens, format of the lens, whatever it is. These are the little nuanced things that I think can, from a technical standpoint, make the photograph more pleasing and more acceptable on that level. Then there's the other side, which is the why the photograph was taken. So this, you know, we put a lot of words in this bucket. Voice, vision, narrative, story, all sorts of different concepts for throwing in the kind of the why we push the shutter to make the photograph. But when we get to actually sharing photographs, there's a more complexity in the why question. And the reason I like to spend time making sure that there is always some level of feedback given about the why bucket is because if we're looking at somebody's contact sheet, so all the photographs they've taken, you get a free pass on most of the stuff we take. Most of the stuff we take is just visually has some element to it. We try to compose, we photograph it, we move on, we don't think about it. Even looking at like Magnum contact sheets or somebody else's contact sheets, you'll see a lot of really just bad photographs or uninteresting photographs or miscomposed photographs. And out of that, though, they'll select the one that they think is interesting, the one they think is good that they want to work with. It's that element of the why that becomes so interesting, because when we get to the point where we're actually sharing a photograph and have worked on a photograph and edited a photograph, it's made it through several levels of the why category. Assuming you're not trying to learn a technical skill for a specific photograph, but you're trying to actually create a really interesting photograph. You've composed that photograph, made technical decisions about the exposure of that photograph. You've then imported, culled, selected, met a minimum bar in selection to be edited, edited to a certain level, printed, and then decided, or edited and exported, and then decided that it's now worth sharing. So multiple times we've had to make a decision that there is something within this photograph that compels us to be interesting. And I think that's part of the analysis of understanding what is it about that experience? What is it about those multiple layers of the onion that get peeled back to decide if a photograph is truly worthy of us sharing and expressing and completing? And what's interesting about that is I have had a number of conversations with photographers about their work where it literally came down to an affinity for the subject and they liked how well they presented the subject. So they went out and they fell in love with a lighthouse, they fell in love with a rock, they had a portrait they liked, and they just think they did an amazing job on the technical side. And so they have this massive affinity for that particular photograph. And that's great because at the core of photography is about your personal connection to the things you photograph and the things you create and the things you make. It's that personal story of what you have to say. And so that's really, really important. I think that even if it is just a technically good photograph, but it's of something that matters to you. A lot of my most important photographs are of my pets. They're my dogs, my family. They're not only my pets. I mean, anybody who knows me knows they're more than pets. So those photographs are important. My most important photograph that I took early on in my career as a photographer was of my dog, Sydney. It was the first time I really felt a deep connection to the photograph I made, the print, the way it came out, the expression on her face, that everything kind of pulled together, and that I could have that attention behind the camera to actually get that expression that I wanted out of a photograph. So I think no matter what the subject matter is, if you get that print and you have that sensibility to it, that's important. But if you're trying to push yourself completely across the board, if you're trying to understand a lot of your photographs, I think you need to figure out, one, which camp your foot is in. Are you more of a why photographer or are you more of a how photographer? And then realize that part of probably the frustration you have sometimes and part of the way you listen to feedback is that people tell you, wow, these are really good photographs, they're really well done, and I just don't connect with them. I just don't get a sense of who you are or a sense of who I am or why the photograph is so important. Is you lean into the how but not the why. And if you're frustrated by the type of feedback you get, part of, I think, the job is for us to step back and examine How are we receiving that feedback? What kind of feedback are we expecting to get? And are we open to listening to that feedback? Are we open to listening to the analysis? Because the reality is it's just one person's opinion. When I provide feedback to people about this is what I see in the photograph, this is how I think it could be improved, this is how I respond to it, it is nothing but my opinion. It's one of 7.4 billion opinions. I'd like to think that my years of experience help me have an understanding and an awareness that's more than just somebody who never looks at photographs. But the reality is the opinion is just the opinion. So part of what you have to assess is, in that world of figuring out what really matters, you're getting a whole host of opinions. You're getting varied opinions. Some people love it. Some people hate it. But part of your job is to figure out and distill that down as to what is significant and meaningful in that feedback that you can then apply to your photography going forward. If what you consistently hear is, these are beautifully done, but I just don't connect with them, and you're okay with that, really, at the end of the day, what you have is you want to be a master musician who can play thousands of pieces of music, technically great, and people appreciate that, you're good. That's all that really matters, because you're happy, your audience is happy, you know where you sit. And if you're a person who really doesn't care about the quality of the print, the thing, because people really connect with the emotional impact of your photography, and that other technical stuff is just something you're not interested in, own that, accept that space. Recognize there's going to be criticism that comes sometimes, and you have to process and contextualize that on either side, because people are going to give you feedback that you don't necessarily connect with. But by owning that space, I think it's important. Now, if you're a photographer who wants to elevate both, part of what you're going to have to figure out is what you have to say in your photography. And this is probably one of the hardest things about getting the balance between both. Because it is easy to continually push one aspect of our photography, the house side of the photography, the nature of the better way to take it, the better way to print it, the better printer to buy, the better software to get. But that what you have to say is, at the end of the day, probably the most critical aspect of the photography. So you can become a master printer, but if you want to become a master photographer, you've got to have something to say. And it doesn't have to be a lot. You just have to make sure you know what you're saying. And sometimes you have a lot to say and you just haven't processed yet how to say it. So this is the other little thing that I've started to realize in working with a lot of photographers is what they photograph, literally what they photograph, the subject they've chosen to put in front of the camera and the subject matter they put in front of the camera is not what they really want to say. The angst, fear, anxiety, tension, whatever it is, they're avoiding what they want to say. So you'll hear people say, oh, you know, I really want to do this. I really want to photograph that. I really want to say this, but I don't know how to do that. Well, there's risk involved in that. Maybe it turns out you don't like to photograph people, but for the story and narrative you want to say, you have to photograph people. You have to start becoming a portrait photographer to communicate the thing you want. Or maybe you do have to learn a new technical skill. Maybe you want to create a virtual fantasy world that you see in your head photographically, but you've got a composite to do it. Maybe you actually do have to learn a technical skill. So no matter where that how is, and no matter where that why is, if you want to get really clear on communicating the thing that matters to you, you do at some point have to decide you have something to say and what it is. And like I said, I think a lot of times we fall into a habit of what we started with as a photographer, what we initially picked as a photographer, as the subject matter, and we try to communicate through that, even though we might need to shift subject. So as you think about your photography, you think about critique of your photographs, the analysis of your photographs you get back, make sure you're listening appropriately from the how or the why. Like I said, we'll break that down a little farther and maybe in a future podcast. But for now, decide which feedback you're getting. Is that valuable feedback that you care about? How to contextualize it against the other feedback, but knowing that it's in which bucket, I think will help you better assimilate that information and decide the value of the critique you're getting. I hope you have a wonderful week behind the camera. I hope you get a chance to do something creative. Make sure you get out there and do some stretches. Spend some time breathing. Like I said, don't forget to check in on your family and friends, because even though things are different around the world and people are starting to get out there and do things more, I think it's still important to check on your family and friends. Anytime, it's important to check on your family and friends. So make sure you do that. Don't forget, you can always find us up on any of the podcast platforms. Thanks so much for listening. I really do appreciate it. Have a great week, and I'll see you next time.